Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Not sure if you heard, but Barcelona won El Clasico. In fact, they thrashed Real Madrid at the weekend. And I tell you what, the Barcelona newspapers are loving it. Big party, the front page of
Mundo
Deportivo. We're back, meanwhile, says the front page of Sport. These are the scenes in the locker room after the win at the Bernabeu. Dani Alves very much at the centre of them. And in case you missed it, fascinating bicycle diaries of Martin Einstein talking about, remember that guy, Lionel Messi?
Who?
Para mí ahora mismo.
Right now, Leo is lost there. Leo always said to me, where can I be happier than here? I'm proof that there's nowhere better than here. Leo isn't here today, but I hope he can come back. If he does come back, I want him to come back here with me.
Wow, Dani Alves not pulling any punches there as we welcome in from Paris, which everyone seems to hate, Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent, who left France, of course, now live in London, to make our point. Jules, let's start off. Next season, where is Lionel Messi going to be?
I think he's going to be in Paris. Certainly what we're being told is that he wants to stay next season, a second season. We know he's got another year on his contract. There's a third season as an option. I think that both the club and him can trigger. I think this is too early to say if he will have a third season in Paris or if he'll decide to go somewhere else. But from what we're being told, he wants to still be at the club next season. He wants to do better than this season. There's probably very likely be with a different manager, with a different team around him. Maybe Mbappe, no Mbappe. Maybe Neymar, no Neymar. Maybe others. And certainly, it looks like if he wants to be there for another season. I don't know why, if you ask me, why would he want to stay in this mess? But listen, he has a contract, that's for sure. He's paid a lot of money, as L'Équipe revealed again today in the salary exposure that they do every year. So I'm not sure anyone right now can afford him as much as what PSG are giving him. So that's also part of the reason maybe why he wants to stay a second season.
Jules, if it was a simple option, Leo, what would you like to do? It's completely down to you. You can stay here in Paris or you can go back to Barcelona. He wants to go back here.
I think, of course, you would think so. They obviously kept the house over there and they go quite often back for weekends or holidays with the children and the dogs and all of that. And Xavi, who's been his best friend one of his best friends for so many years, is now in charge. Things are so much better at the club, the way they play. So of course, I guess if he had the chance to go back, he would go back. The reality is right now they cannot pay him. I mean, he would have to pay himself to play like Piqué does, pretty much, or like Piqué will do next season. So I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know what PSG would do. Barcelona would have to pay a transfer fee, I guess, because of that 1 year remaining on his contract. I don't know. It's very complicated, I think, for him if he wants to go back. That's why I don't see it happening at all. And I really believe he will stay another year in Paris.
Frank, we've discussed a lot over the last 48 hours about whether or not Barcelona could have done what they did at the weekend if Lionel Messi was still in the team. You think, well, you played with one of the greats in Zinedine Zidane. Does that prove to be a distraction in the end? It's a stupid question, really, in the sense that is there too much reliance on one man, i.e. Messi, for Barcelona?
That's a tough question because you can't deny the fact that when you have Leo Messi, it's a plus. But nowadays, and I've always been confronted to that that's principles about the fact that when you have a big player, you have to build a team around him. So what does it make in a dressing room and what does it does to the to the coach in terms of decision? I think in the modern time, it's hard to be a megastar because it's been proven that when you build a team like Liverpool, like Bayern Munich, like Chelsea last year, like Real Madrid a couple of years, some years ago, you have more chances to win the Champions League than if you have like a megastar like Leo Messi or maybe Ronaldo or maybe Neymar, and you build the team around. It's been just proven last week and since Xavi came back that when you create a team, when you create a spirit, you can beat anybody, even what or who we think are the best. So saying that Messi would have been in Barcelona and it wouldn't have been the same result, I don't know. I don't have the result for that. What I know right now, it's complicated to build a team around a big star. So you will have your own answer. Everybody will have their own answers. But you can see that in Paris Saint-Germain with megastars, it's complicated. Mm. You can see in Manchester United with one megastar, it's complicated. And it's getting better with Barcelona with no megastar. So you have your own, I have my own answer too.
I absolutely 100% agree with Frank. Mm. You know, the best teams are exactly that, the best teams. Because not only are they all together, but there are so many different angles that they can actually get results. When you've got a player like a Messi, everything has to go through them. And so what you're doing is you're minimizing your chances percentage-wise,
right,
when you're continuously trying to go through the one guy. When you've got a team like this, who all of them on their own are talented, you've got so many outlets. You can do so many different things, as opposed to being stuck in one way of playing. And so, again, the togetherness was frightening. You saw them after the game. That tells you that it's a real team. It's a proper team. And a team that's together, that's got talent, I tell you, that's a tough thing to beat.
Who would have thought, Ali? Mm. Like we were at the Camp Nou for around, Barcelona's first game of the season, and it was just depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone was down. Lionel Messi, it was like a divorce had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sat here now talking about Barcelona, it being almost a blessing in disguise that he left.
And it is a blessing in disguise because it has allowed the growth and development of some of the players that we're now seeing. And the product that we're now seeing from Barcelona and the changes that they made and the growth that we have seen from Xavi's team. So I have to tell you, if you're Xavi, publicly, if somebody were to ask you about a possible return of Lionel Messi, he would say, Leo will always be welcome in Barcelona.
Right.
That would be the standard answer. But when he goes home and he's laying in his bed, he's going to be thinking, please, Lord, please do not allow this to happen. Because he has built now something that he can get excited about. And it is a product that is built coming from his mind, and he's seeing it out on the field. The structure that he's given the team, the personnel that is out on the team, it's players that now he has put in positions to succeed. If Lionel Messi walks through that door, you now have to move all the pieces around so that you can shoehorn him into some sort of position. And then all that growth that you're talking about in terms of the young players that are now going to feel the obligation, as I've said before, to pass the ball to Lionel Messi and not make decisions on their own, because that is the respect that he commands.
Mm.
And we're talking about a different version of Lionel Messi. Not the best player in the world, Lionel Messi, as he has been for a decade, but what he has now become. Still a useful player, but not the difference maker and impactful player that he once was. Not at that same level. So while Messi fans may go crazy when I say this, look, there's been a decline in Lionel Messi. It doesn't mean that he's not a great player. He is, but you don't go changing your whole structure of a team to now put him in a position where we depend on him to make the difference and to be the impactful player. Here's the other thing I would say. If you bring in Lionel Messi, all the people that are excited about the front three for Barcelona, that front three wouldn't be the same.
Right.
So all the people that are excited about the structure and youth of this team going forward, that would change as well. So if you're Xavi, publicly you say, yeah, Leo is welcome. But privately you're saying to yourself, no, no thanks. We don't need him right now. We don't want him right now. We want to move on with our lives. We moved on. He's moved on. Let's go in our own direction.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it, Jules?
Yeah, it is. But again, we see with Cristiano United, they have been so amazing for so long. And this is when they become human again. After being aliens for all those years, now they become human. Where is their best position? How do you play with them? Is it a problem to have them in your team? What's the solution? How you can play them? And then they have one amazing game because they're still amazing players. And you think, wow, okay, they still have it. But then the inconsistency at times is stunning because we haven't been used to it. We've been used to them being so good, so consistently, all the time, scoring tons of goals or creating them or assisting them, all of that. And now they're human again. And I don't think we're ready for it. I don't think they are ready for it either. So, yeah, I think this Barca team is better without him in a way. Maybe Xavi would find a way of integrating him in it and he would still be very good and the team could still be very good. And maybe Poch hasn't done that enough in Paris. Maybe someone else can do a better job. I don't know. Same with Cristiano. But I just think this is towards the end now and this is not going to get better. And I think we just need to get used to it.
Isn't it tough? Well, I don't know. It's tough when you're sort of talking about a guy like Messi, like the way we are. Mm. I mean, we're being honest and we're telling the truth. And yes, he's past his best and we don't want him back at Barcelona. I almost feel bad saying it.
Right.
Because he was so good. It is not fun. And it doesn't just relate to football. In every sport, it's the same. Somebody who's past it, it's not enjoyable to watch them try and be what they were. It's just a horrible, well, it's a horrible feeling.
It's not like we sit here and we're rooting against Messi. No, and look at him, he's failing.
It just doesn't feel right.
And it's not the end that you want to see. But the end comes. It comes for everybody. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Are we talking about football still?
This is getting deep. We need some sort of book to cheer us up. Maybe some sort of self-help book.
Right. Blow my nose here.
Do you know what I wanted to say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what if you asked me a question, Dan, because but the guy of the guys are making noises, too much noises. But what I wanted to say about Neymar is in fact, it's sad in a way that he wanted to leave because Barcelona couldn't pay him anymore, couldn't pay his salary. And again, I said that before he left, where he has so much money coming from merchandising that he could have paid for free, he could have played for free, you know, for that club that he loves so much and still be there. So, yes, it's sad to say that, what we say, but he's the only responsible for that. He decided to leave because he's decided to still have some money coming from salary where Barcelona couldn't pay him anymore. So only Paris Saint-Germain could do that. He would have stayed there playing for free. He would have been, it was already the Messi or the Messiah. He would have become God. And he would have paid for free because he can get like, what, 80 million? Jules maybe knows better than me. 80 million euro per year in merchandising. Does he need it? Did he need a salary? I don't think so. He could have stayed in Barcelona. They could have rebuilt around him. He decided to leave for a salary. I think that's the sad part of it.
What's the crazy part is that Steve seems to have a bigger heart than Frank. I didn't think we even expected that.
What?
Jules, just to tie a bow on this, would that have been possible? Was that feasible?
I think it was very difficult because we're not going to go back again to what we said last summer when we reported it on air so often and so much. I think the shock, because Messi and his dad and the whole entourage really expected him, like Laporta said, to extend the deal. It was pretty much ready. Everybody thought it was done. And then to get into that office and being told, actually, we can't keep you. You need to get out. After all those years, after everything that he's achieved there, after it was his club. Really, I think the shock was there more than even thinking, okay, what could be the solutions? What can we do here? Is there a way to make it work? You know, Messi said himself, I was never asked to play for free either. Maybe if they asked him, listen, could you just do it for 2 years? And then you become an ambassador and then we pay you again. I don't know, find a way, find a formula, find a process. But that didn't even come from the club itself. So I don't know, I think it's very difficult. I understand what Frank wants to say about the money and all of that. I really don't think that it was just about the money and him playing for free or not. I think though it was a mess and it was a big surprise. It was a big shock. I think it was a shock for everyone. And I don't think it was easy to deal with. That's the thing. Maybe now with hindsight, it could have done differently. Laporta could have done differently. You know, all the people at the club or Messi's clan, of course. But at that time, I think it was very difficult to have another outcome.
OK, moving away from Messi, we've talked a lot about El Clasico over the last couple of days. I want to talk about something that we discussed actually in the pre-match, because obviously you've got the camera view now. And I immediately, Stevie, when I see these scenes, I think of you straight away.
Cuddling.
The opposition teams cuddling and talking. I asked Luis Garcia about it, and he said, look, they're going to be lining up together for Spain in less than a week's time. What's the big deal if you go out and deliver on the pitch? I'm just intrigued as to how this would have been greeted in your Liverpool days.
Well, if you were going to have any interaction with the opposition, you made sure nobody saw you.
Mm. Right.
Because it would be, hold on a minute. I want you to go out and cut the throat and you're just giving him a hug or talking to him or whatever, telling jokes. What's all that about? Get your eye on the ball. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. So you didn't have anything to do with MD. So way after the game, not even at the end of the game, it would be a little handshake. I'll see you when they're all away. I'll see you in the bar for the beer.
Why has it changed?
I have no idea.
Frank, how do you feel looking at those pictures as a pro?
I totally agree with Stevie. I think you can do that, you know, discreetly, where, you know, nobody going to see you. I have an example where, you know, at Highbury, I played against Patrick Vieira, Thierry Henry, Nicolas Anelka. You would have never seen me, you know, shaking hands in the tunnel before the game. I surely saw them before, like an hour before, say hi, you know, we're going to see each other next week. But they would have come to me in the tunnel. I would have said, get out, I don't want to see you. You're my enemy for an hour and a half. I have fans, they want to see me being really tuned in, you know, fighting for my colors. I don't want to talk to you. You're not my friend for an hour and a half. We're going to be friends next week. I'm going to kiss you as a as a French guy, like we like to hug. But now for an hour and a half, I hate you and I want to beat you.
It's actually, it's culture, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's culture. So, again, like every job, when you go into a situation, there's a culture.
Right.
And so when I grew up, the culture was, you're going to cut somebody's throat. And that doesn't matter. I don't care. And so the people who would carry that culture on have just steadily eroded and disappeared. And so now it's...
But if you still go out on the field and get the job done... Doesn't matter if you're buying someone a cake before the match.
Yeah, but you always have a loser.
I can't disagree with that. But it's there's something in your brain. It's like, Dan, I love you. I think you're great. We got on really well. But if somebody bounced a ball between us and said, right, if you go through him, I'll give you £100. I'm sorry, you're dust.
Well, maybe you'll be dust. Who knows?
I don't know about now.
It's that little trigger in your brain.
And you,
it's a trigger.
And you need that.
I think it makes a difference.
Right.
If you hesitate at all,
right,
then you get it.
But I think
then I'm dust.
It also depends on the player. In the video, we did see that there were some players that just kind of stay up in the stairs, just kind of like, I don't want any part of that. You saw Luka Modric staying away from it. It's like, and he's played against these guys as well. He's like, he wanted no interaction whatsoever. Personally, this is something that I would hate, and I would hate that my teammates would be doing this. I wouldn't like it, but I just think that right nowadays, all of these things have become normalized. We're seeing players trading jerseys on the field, which is ridiculous. At halftime, at the end of the first half, they're doing it. Hey, Modric wants no part of this. He's looking at it and saying, no, you know what? I'm just going to stretch back here. I want no part of this interaction. The guys up in the stairs want no part of that discussion of the hugging and the kissing. They want none of it. The other thing I would say is that if you go and hug and kiss, and all right, it's great, and talk to you. And then you play the way and the manner in which Real Madrid did. Now you really open yourself up for all sorts of controversy because
they,
anybody
they play badly.
Are you talking about reasonable fans? Is this what you're talking about? is this what you're wanting to? No. If you're a fan, you don't want to see this.
Right.
And then your team goes out and loses 4-0. There is even more gasoline to pour on the fire because see these guys. They didn't care before the game either. Look at them. They were not into it. You don't want to give any reason to anybody, but certainly you don't want to give a reason to yourself either. You want to maintain that level of edge, that level of anger, that level that requires me to break you in half if that's what I need to do in order to win a game.
Break me in half, please.
Well,
Frank.
Yeah, you know what the thing is I think if the player got softer, because I think they've gotten softer, you know, that in a way that the anger that Ali was talking about is. I don't feel it anymore, even in the game. But I think the fans got softer as well because they accept that. Because I imagine, you know, playing a classical Marseille against Paris Saint-Germain, losing like I did against Ronaldinho, making a stupid pass and hugging him before. Well, I guess the fans, they would have killed me after the game and say, well, the guy betrayed us. That's what it is. That's the picture you're showing, that you're not serious, you know, completely committed. You're not into it. You can, as long as you do what you have to do, saying being tuned in the tunnel, not talking to a player, you make foul, it's part of the game. But if you laugh, you talk to the others, and you don't take it seriously, and you make mistakes, people's going to be resentful. And that's just fair.
There's one thing we haven't mentioned. Money.
Mm.
Money makes you soft. Makes you comfortable.
Mm.
You know, when you've got to step on the field and we're getting 200 quid a week and you're getting 150 bonus for winning a game, all of a sudden, that means a lot.
So you're saying that these players, you wanted to win a game more than these players now? Because I'm sure if we had them sat here, they would completely disagree with that.
Put it this way, Dan. If I want to have some good things, I need to earn money. And the only way I'm going to earn money is by winning games. I ain't going to be able to do that just surviving on the wage I'm getting. I need the bonus. 90% of players, when I played, needed the bonus. The bonus was everything. And to get the bonus, guess what you had to do? You had to win the game. And so everything is riding on the outcome of the game. Half of these guys that don't even play are driving around in Lamborghinis. So, yes, money makes a difference. Money makes people soft. When they've got too much yet and they're going to get rewarded for doing nothing, then 100%.
But that's a bit of a general statement, isn't it?
It's not a general statement.
It is a statement. Look, Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, two of the richest sportsmen in the world.
I'll tell you what.
They still go out.
I'll give you another one, right? You're sitting on a Friday, because they used to give the team out on a Friday. And you're sitting on a Friday, right? And there's 15 guys sitting in the dressing room and there's only one sub allowed. So there's three guys not even getting close to getting a bonus or anything. And when their name's not called out, you want to go and see their face and ask them how they feel.
But if
you guys that are not even
but
kicking
telling
a ball,
me that players,
I'm getting
the players,
70 and 80 grand a week done.
Players in the fourth tier of English football want to win more than the Premier League stars because they want to put food on the table. That's too easy to say, isn't it? That's too much of a generalisation.
It's not a generalisation at all. I'm just telling you how it works, Dan. That's exactly how it works. Guys in the fourth tier, absolutely. Every single penny matters. And I can guarantee you, today, because they won't be making the money that these guys are making, they won't be going and hugging and clapping and cuddling each other. Because if they don't get that bonus, then, well... completely changes everything. It's the majority of it is about money.
Mm. Speaking of money, Frank Kessie's going to get some, isn't he?
Hello.
Because he has signed a new contract with Barcelona. He'll be joining in the summer, Jules. A good signing, your opinion?
Very good signing. One of the best in his positions in Europe, for sure. Not a replacement for Busquets. I think we need to stress that because I think there's a lot of maybe Barca fans or people who haven't seen Kessié play a lot who thinks, okay, he's just going to be a holding midfielder and he's the one who's going to come after Busquets. Yeah, this is not his position. You play him higher up on the pitch. He can play in a double pivot. He can play in the midfield three, but he's not a Busquets type of player. So, but yeah, still, despite all the great midfielders they already already have with Gavi and Pedri and De Jong and Busquets and Nico to a certain extent. It's another one, but you take him. Of course, you take him with no transfer fee. It's a big deal. It's a big move because of the commissions and the wages and all of that, signing on fee. But still, it's a very, very good signing for Barcelona.
What is his tunnel etiquette like, Jules?
What is it? What?
What's his etiquette in the tunnel? Is he a hugger? Is he a standoffer? What would we expect?
It's a good point. I believe he's a hugger. I believe he's got a very strong relationship.
Wrong. Oh, no. Bad signing, though. Bad signing.
That's it. We'll rate every signing.
If I just signed on the contract he did, I'd be hugging him. Oh,
well, you don't care anymore.
No, I don't care.
Everyone's driving around in fancy Lamborghinis.
If I don't even play a game, I still get paid. Yes, brilliant.
Oh, my goodness. From us, be sure to check out our YouTube page. Be sure to go to ESPN FC. Lots of stuff there for the fallout of now Clasico. Don't forget to subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Quite the discussion as to what this front page said with Jules and Frank. They're going with Paris is disintegrating, Paris is crumbling.
It's not good.
Paris are rubbish. Yeah. Basically, it is. Front page of L'Équipe. Jules, of course, another low, yet another low, that loss against Monaco at the weekend. And it's the manner of these defeats that even with your PSG optimism, they're just terrible.
Yeah, it is a mess, Dan, absolutely. This one of the worst games I've seen since the Qatari took over in 2011. It was pathetic from start to finish. I think the attitude of the players on the pitch to start with, because we're going to blame Pochettino, of course, but you know the players also need to take their part of responsibility. They didn't want to be there, to play. Clearly, Neymar and Mbappe, who I think made 13 sprints, 1-3 in his whole game. I mean, which is, even Icardi played 20 minutes, made more sprints than Kylian himself, which I find it baffling, but attitude was wrong. I mean, Pochettino, as we've been saying, just hasn't been good enough at all, whether it's on him and his own faults, or it's a bit of everything, but certainly he's been one of the worst managers in the Qatari era, without a doubt. And the fact that you've lost four in the last six now in all competitions, that there's clearly tension, a lot of tension within the dressing room now, and those tensions are always there, we're always there, but the more you lose, the bigger they become, of course. It's just that they cannot wait for the season to end, and then this is when it's going to be key. Between now and May, nothing is going to be key. Just go along, make sure you win that title, and it will be not as bad as it could have been, or worse as it could have been. However, once that season is over, this is when the big decisions have to come.
Pochettino obviously going to leave, we understand. Your boy Zidane, looking at it, would he even want this job, Frank?
That I don't know. And if I texted him yesterday, he wasn't about that, you know, and I don't know what he's going to do. But some people
what
are talking about Arsene Wenger, maybe. Well, you will never know. It's about an English interview, and some newspaper want to pay a lot of crazy money to have an hour with Zidane. That's it, whatever. But yeah. You know what?
You weren't discussing
they're talking
barbers,
about Zidane. They're talking about They're talking about Wenger. They have to find something. But as long as you won't find a way to settle down a hierarchy in that circus PSG, nothing's gonna happen. Mm. Nothing's gonna happen, and he's not gonna go for the best. That's for sure. He's been there. He's been that for like 10 years at least, where the dressing room doesn't respect the coach, so it can be Blanc, Kamboaré, Emery, Tuchel, Pochettino. It won't change anything. It can be Zidane as well. It won't change anything as long as the chairman and the guy just below him, like Leonardo, it would be maybe Arsene Wenger, don't make sure the players understand that the boss of the dressing room is the coach. And he makes all decision, and nobody can complain going above the coach. And then you can start maybe having something good at this club.
Who do you want, Jules?
No, Pochettino, that's for sure. As much as I like him and as much as I liked him when he was a PSG player and captain, it just hasn't worked. And maybe he was just not the right guy. Maybe the way he coaches and the time that he needs to implement all his ideas and everything he wants, there's just no time in Paris. The time is the one thing you don't have. You've got a lot of money, you've got a big dressing room with big egos, but time you don't have. And maybe from the beginning, and he was actually quite, now with hindsight, quite easy to see very quickly, it was just not going to work. So yeah, of course, Zidane, I think, would be great. He's got this sort of man management qualities that I think are required in a club like that. Is he the answer on his own? I don't think so. I agree with Frank. If you go and bring Zidane to the club, he has to be the boss. He has to be full power. So if you're late at training and he wants to send you home or he wants to drop you, he can do it. You know, he can't feel like, oh, I can't do it because the chairman or the guy above me will say, well, no, it's Neymar, we don't touch. It's Messi, you don't touch. It's Kylian, you don't touch. Let them do what they want, which is happening too often. And also, I think, within that new manager, whoever's going to come in, the leadership within the dressing room has to be better. And maybe Sergio Ramos could have been that guy, but because he spent his life injured, it's just that authority is not there from him. But that leadership can also come from the dressing room. Hey, you're late? Why are you late? This is the last time. Next time, you're finished, you're gone here. And, you know, the boys that have played in dressing room, that almost run itself. You didn't need the manager or people above to say, oh, you've done this wrong, you're going to get sanctioned, you need to pay a fine. Some players in these dressing rooms were doing that. They were leading that way. They were bossing, they were running it. And I think this has been missing maybe since Ibra left, really. It's been, even when Ibra was there, it was too egocentric. So there's so many things to change. And again, we go back to the summer. This is the time now to do this. Otherwise, they will keep being a marketing club and not a football club anymore.
Frank, Jules, you started that answer by saying that Pochettino is a good guy, you know, he's just the wrong job, and then you slagged him off for a while. Looking at overall, obviously Pochettino and his camp can pretty much say, look, Thomas Tuchel, Unai Emery, whoever you want to point at, they've all been here and they haven't been able to get the job done. So don't read too much into my time in Paris. Look at what I achieved at Spurs. Is he not as good as people think he is, Jules?
That's a really good point. It's a very good debate to have. I think this tarnishes a little bit his legacy and you know what he's done before. But you can't just go, look, he's failed in Paris, even if he wins Ligue 1, he's not good enough for a United or for Real Madrid and this like that, because the context is not the right one for him. If you want Poch at his best, he needs time. it is patience, which he had at Spurs. Remember again, we go back to the first season at Spurs. Difficult. It took him a lot of time to get going, for the players to come on board, for them to do what he wants. And he was given the time, and eventually he worked out and paid out and reached levels that you never thought that club would reach. With PSG, again, not that time. Do it straight away, he can't do that. If he goes to United, the people at United have to understand that he needs that time. If you want quick success, him to turn things around very quickly and go and win you the Premier League and bridge the gap with Liverpool and City and compete for the Champions League, this is not going to happen. This is dreamland. If you want United to be back there, he needs some time to do that, and he needs some resources, of course, and he needs to improve players. All of that will come with the time. And I think this is the key here. If you want to read this as, look, he failed in Paris, he can't succeed in at United, at Old Trafford, of course, if you expect him to succeed in 18 months, that's not going to happen. However, if you give him a five-year project with a proper direction and people with whom he can work closely above him, I think he can be a success. But don't read everything about what happened in Paris the last 18 months or 15 months right now, because it's not the whole truth about Pochettino.
Go on, Frank.
Dan, I think you already have the answer to your question with Emery and Tuchel, what they've done last season. You know, both of them, they have been really criticized. You know, they're not good coaches. They don't know how to handle the dressing room. The year after, they signed for other clubs, and they win one the Europa League, the other one 2 years after. But for Tuchel, the year after, he wins the Champions League. So it says a lot about how difficult or almost impossible is to do your job or properly do your job at Paris Saint-Germain. So therefore, you can say Pochettino deserve another chance before being judged, because really, you cannot make a statement after somebody sacked from Paris Saint-Germain.
For a lot more on PSG and that loss against Monaco and El Clasico, Jules doesn't get to talk as much as he does here. be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a good time to be an Arsenal supporter, and we haven't said that very often of late. They currently sit fourth in the table, 3 points clear of Spurs. They have a game in hand. They're looking good, aren't they, for a Champions League place. Saka has been fantastic this season. Interesting exchange between Saka and Steven Gerrard after Arsenal's win against Villa. Saka was saying, I wasn't complaining to the ref. This is when he was talking to the ref a lot, but I just wanted to let him know that's my game. Running at players with pace, and sometimes I need a bit more protection when players are purposely trying to kick me. Steven Gerrard was asked about this, and he said, it's part of the game. The last time I checked, it's not a non-contact sport. I think tackles are allowed, physicality is allowed. He's a good player, he's an outstanding talent, and I love him, but he can't complain about that side. That's football. I'm sitting here now with screws in my hips. I've had 16 operations. I'm struggling to go to the gym at the moment. That's all on the back of earning a living in English football. He'll learn, and he'll learn quick.
Are you sure it was Saka that said that, or was it his mum and dad?
There he is.
Seriously, get a grip.
Too much money.
Too much money. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Saka's got to realise that he's putting himself in situation. Now, I can honestly tell you, I haven't seen people just blatantly going to try and kick this guy. He's putting himself in situations where he's getting caught. And he is a guy who doesn't take an awful lot to come off the field, because he's had quite a few knocks where he hasn't played the next game for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. So If that's me, my football brain is telling me, right, don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to get caught. Don't go in a 50-50 with Tyrone Mings because he's a stone heavier and he's going to go through you like knife through butter. If you're not going to win it and use your pace to win it and get away from him, then leave it. I mean, it's about using your talent the right way. Because if you don't and you keep getting kicked, then eventually you break down completely.
And I can tell you this, and I'm going to take the side of the defender now, who reads these comments, hears about these comments, and he says, oh, you're a skillful player. I see. Oh, you're about pace. Don't you worry about it. Here I come, and I'm going to make sure that when I have my chance, you're not going to be able to use your pace. You're not going to be able to use your skill, and I am going to break you. Right? I'm going to get after you. And while I'm doing it, when you're laying on the ground, I'm saying, where's your skill now, buddy? Where's your speed now?
I don't like this.
No, all I'm telling you is if you're a defender and you see a guy who's come out and told you that he doesn't like the physical aspect of the game, that he wants to be protected, I said, well, yeah. As Stevie just said, where's daddy and mommy now? Are they going to protect you? Is the referee going to protect you? No, they're not here to protect you, bud. You better get on and play the game. Physicality is part of it. And when you tell people that you don't like to get kicked, that, oh my goodness, I need somebody to protect me, guess what's going to happen? People are going to get after you.
Frank?
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, he put himself in that position because he's talented, because he has all the tools, you know, to humiliate the defenders. But defenders don't like to be the victims. They don't like to be humiliated. And when he makes those kind of comments, you say, okay, you know what, defenders, don't touch me because I'm absolutely fantastic. I have skills and everything, and I want to show you that I can humiliate you even more. It would have been, I think, no striker would have said that in my time because he would have known that the game after 10 seconds, he would have felt the stunts of somebody. That's where it was before. And it's what people like Gerard, you know, experienced and some others experienced. It's why they were tough, because they knew that they couldn't make those kind of comments because they would have been kicked the game after. It's what it is. No referee won't protect you. You will have to protect yourself. You will have to get some more experience to make sure you won't be kicked. But don't make those kind of comments because you are saying to the defender, oh, I'm scared, so don't kick me. No, we're going to kick you. We're going to kick you big time.
Do you want to defend your boy, Jules?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's a sweet boy, and maybe he needs to toughen up a bit. The boys are right. I mean, there's times where he's been over the limit, really, and even that Tara Mings tackle that almost took his ankle away was really, really, really on the edge. Where I don't understand is what
he's got
to
about?
Do with Stevie Gerrard
Jules, please, let me ask you something. How is this? What has this got to do with Tyrone Mings being on the edge? Tyrone Mings did his job. Tyrone Mings got to the ball first and cleared the ball.
Yeah.
Right?
And then took his ankle. So that could have been given as a red. We've seen red before. He got a yellow.
So here's where you and I disagree. In my book, that is Saka's fault. That's what when I was talking about earlier on, don't put yourself in a situation where you might get caught. And certainly don't put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to be second to the ball. And if you're going to be second to the ball with Tyrone Mings or any other big square-headed centre-back, then you keep yourself out the road. To try and put this on Tyrone Mings, who's only doing his job, and the way the game's refereed today...
I didn't put
today,
anything on anyone.
Well, you
didn't,
did.
This could have been a red. But that could have been a red, regardless.
Well, that's what you've done. You've put it all on Tyrone Mings. You haven't said one word, but Sacco should have got out the road, because that's what you do as a professional. When you see these situations and you're not getting the ball, then you have to figure out, OK, well, what am I going to do now? Why would you go and put yourself in a situation? And all of a sudden, everybody's looking at Tyrone Mings saying that could have been a red card, when Tyrone Mings has done nothing wrong. He's cleared the ball because he's 6'4", 200 pounds or whatever, there's going to be some sort of follow-through. And he hasn't gone crazy and lifted his leg up past his knees or anything. This is down to Saka.
Because I'm sure in your time, if your winger in front of you would have jumped out of a challenge from their centre back, you would have been happy and say, "Hey, well done, mate. Well done for jumping out of that tackle." I don't think you would have said that. You would have said, "Hey, why did you jump off there?"
And you know what?
I don't understand from Stevie Gerrard.
No,
I don't understand why is Stevie Gerrard comparing himself and the fact that he can't go running now in the gym at 45. Because Stevie Gerrard is in that state, and I love him dearly. Bukayo Saka has to be like that as well when he's 45.
He doesn't have to end up like Steven Gerrard. I don't care what Steven Gerrard
says.
I don't care what Steven Gerrard said. So I maybe agree with you. Why is he
But that's what you're talking
himself?
About. You're talking about his comments.
I'm talking about Saka, right? If I've got Saka in my team and he's got a big square head coming at him and he gets out the road, there is not a chance that I'm going to turn around and say, "You coward, why didn't you go into that?" That is absolutely, I would not have done that at all. Now, if Saka was 200 pounds and 6'4" against another guy and didn't make a 50-50, then I would have a problem. But no, guys like him, you look after them. And you certainly, guys like him, have to look after themselves more than anything, because they need to have the football intelligence not to put themselves in situations where they're going to get caught.
Regardless, Dan, Saka should not be making these comments. Yeah. If they should be coming from his manager, from Arteta or somebody else, but not from the player himself.
It's a target on his back.
Absolutely.
Despite that target, Arsenal going to finish top four, aren't they, Jules?
It's looking good. I think Spurs and Conte, especially when they're on it and they have that consistency, I think still look good. And the two games in hand that Arsenal have, one is away at Chelsea and one is away at Spurs. So we will know very soon if those count or not. And I think maybe that what hardline clash between the two could be the decisive, a bit the final for that fourth place, like the Etihad clash between City and Liverpool is going to be the final for the title.
You're going to say Spurs just to upset Jules, shouting at him?
Nope, Arsenal. I actually believe Jules is correct in this case.
Whoa!
Hey!
That man knows what he's talking about. I've always said that.
Jules has refused to do extra time, apparently, because of the way Stevie's been talking to him. But fair enough, Frank will be here. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Paul Pogba, it's hard to be playing regular for Manchester United when you often change positions, gain system or partners. At United, do I really have a role? I ask the question and I don't have the answer. Mm. Fair?
Whether it's fair or not, why is he doing this?
Well, because he's wearing international duty. Everyone has a chat, don't they?
Hey.
He might as well, as you said, oh, by the way, everybody wants to know, I'm off at the end of the year. All the best. Yeah, you know, that's... Whether that's correct, which it may be...
Right.
You don't say that. That's just... To see players today, I just don't understand
that. Players today? Players have always done this, gone away and moaned.
No, but this is different, Dan. This is different. Yeah, some have moaned, yes.
Yeah.
But this is a complete and utter, this is not my fault, this is United's fault, all the managers I've ever had.
How can you expect me to perform when I don't know what I'm doing?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know what, that's fine. I'm off at the end of the year.
Right.
Also, you can make the argument the other way and say, there have been plenty of managers and none of them have worked.
Right.
Huh? Whatever they've tried to do with you, it hasn't worked. So maybe I suggest that some of it has to do with Paul Pogba. Nothing says anything more to Paul Pogba than the fact that when they're playing against Atletico Madrid in Champions League at home and they need a result, he was nowhere to be found.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. You know where to find us, of course. We're here throughout the week. Be sure to join us again tomorrow. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali and Stevie with me. Look how suave. Look at Frank today.
Oh,
you look better with your glasses on, Frank, actually. Oh. And a level of intelligence, the whole thing.
No, second. Don't I look like Sean Connery a little bit?
No, not really.
What?
No.
No.
Sean, only Sean. Maybe Sean. Sean, maybe only Sean.
No Connery then.
I don't know what you're saying.
I want to congratulate Ali, by the way, for his watch, a blue watch with a blue pocket. Wow, well done. Oh, very fresh.
Oh,
well done.
Yeah.
Well done,
Ali. He's got new kicks very, on as well. Look.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
Oh, yep. Midlife crisis. Frank, how does it feel to be correct about sloppy Real Madrid and Chelsea as favourites in the Champions League quarterfinal? You text me, didn't you, after the game saying I told you so?
Well, you know, we had that discussion, I think, and Ali and Stevie were there in the studio when we talked about it. So it might be one mistake from Real Madrid. Ken Benzema didn't play, so... We can't make a statement about that. We have to see what's going to happen very soon, next game and the game after, before saying, yeah, Chelsea really the favorite. I think Chelsea is better than Real Madrid. It was my feeling. I know some fans weren't very happy about that. They think I'm a Paris Saint-Germain fan. They forgot that I was a Marseille captain. But I think that, again, Paris lost and Real Madrid didn't win. That's what I felt, that the game that I saw, especially at Santiago Bernabeu. And I'm not surprised. I'm surprised by Barcelona, but I'm not surprised by the game that I've seen from Real Madrid against Barcelona.
Sounds like a PSG fan. If you're Real Madrid and you have a chance to pair up Mbappe, Haaland and Vinicius Jr., you can't pass up on that, right, Ali? Consider selling Benzema, use his salary to help get Kylian and Erling. You can't pass up on a front three with all of them being under 25, right? Right?
Yes, you can.
But he's put right in capital letters.
Twice.
Must be right then.
Yeah.
Benzema still an important part of this team. And when I say an important part of this team, I'm saying the most important player for Carlo Ancelotti. And I continue to say that. When Carlo Ancelotti is putting his team together, the one name that he puts at the top is Karim Benzema and then everybody else. That's how critical to the success of Real Madrid he is. I think if you're making investments and you're making decisions about the future of Real Madrid, you start to consider what are you going to do with that midfield three? Because those are the guys that are real concern now for Real Madrid. How do you get players in place that are going to be able to take the positions of Toni Kroos, the position of Casemiro, and eventually the position of Luka Modric? You have Valverde in place, you have Camavinga in place. Are those the players for the future? What do you do in other areas of the field that I think Real Madrid should address? Yeah, bring Kylian Mbappe all you want to, but don't go crazy chasing it and then say, Karim Benzema, get out the door. I don't think you do that now.
So Stevie, we already have the Carabao Cup. So what is the likelihood to have three cup finals between Liverpool and Chelsea?
There's every possibility.
Yeah, semi-finals of the FA Cup.
Yep.
Was it Liverpool City, Chelsea, Crystal Palace?
Correct.
And then
Champions League.
Champions League?
No, it's very possible.
How possible?
Well, I disagreed with Frank when we were talking about Chelsea and Real Madrid.
Right.
I said at the time I thought Real Madrid were favourites.
Right.
I would actually switch now.
After Sunday?
After what's happened, yeah. And agree with Frank that Chelsea are favourites. And so you've got to think the Chelsea are favourites against Crystal Palace.
Right.
So there's quite a high possibility.
Mm. For Frank, do you think weather and place plays a role in a player's performance, like Hazard? Maybe the warm weather and Spanish food makes him terrible. I'm sure if he went to Newcastle, he'd be back to his old self.
What? I don't know. That's a possibility. You know, I'm very, in a way, I'm very sad because we saw the best of Hazard when he played for Chelsea, and we almost saw nothing of him playing for Real Madrid. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's the lifestyle, the food, or whatever, the sun. And would he be better, you know, playing for Newcastle? Yeah, maybe you're more focused on what you do when you play for Newcastle, because, you know, it's different than being in Madrid. But I think it's more in his head. It's nothing to do with... I talked to him when he played for Chelsea, I have to say. He was living close to the training ground. And I say, do you go sometime to London, to visit London, like we used to do with Zola, Di Matteo, Vialli? He said, no. And he was there for like 3 years. He said, I've never been to London. He was in Cobham, you know, close to the training ground.
Wow.
So I think it's not about Madrid. It's only about him and the way he feels football, or he doesn't feel anymore football, and that's where he has to find the solution. I guess he's a little bit late now.
This is how deep the situation has become from Eden Hazard. I mean, and how out of mind he is. In the conversation leading up to El Clásico as to who was going to take the place of Karim Benzema, Hazard wasn't even close to the conversation.
Nope.
All sorts of other names came around, and Hazard wasn't even discussed. He was nowhere near the field. And when Ancelotti needed players to come on the field, to make some sort of difference, to give a different look to the team, nowhere near. Mariano is running out there. And it tells you very clearly where he is and how far he is from actually taking part in an important role for Real Madrid. There is none of that for Eden Hazard.
What about this for a question? Stevie, which manager has done a better job reviving their squad this season? Vieira at Palace, Xavi at Barcelona, or Arteta at Arsenal?
Ooh.
Ah.
Wow. That's not easy. I don't think it is easy, Frank.
Well, go on, Frank. Why is it easy?
Oh, yeah, Xavi, I mean, we saw the darkness of Barcelona. We see the one of the most beautiful comeback we ever seen in a short time. Really, Xavi came and changed everything. I think Barcelona were 11th, I think, before he came. The third, they just beat Barcelona away from
home. I don't think they were 11th, Frank. I don't know where you got that from.
They were ninth.
No, 11. I say ninth. Well, I wasn't that far. Come on. And really, really well. Yes, Arteta is doing great, and of course, Vieira is doing absolutely fantastically for Palace. But we are talking about Barcelona, and we were ready to say, well, that's almost the end of Barcelona. It's going to take ages for the club to come back, and the guy just come back from Qatar and changes everything. And Barcelona is fighting for the title, is for sure going to be in the Champions League last season, where 2 months ago we were doubting about that. Now, for me, Xavi, with all due respect for the two others, Xavi, first spot.
Yeah, Barcelona in the relegation zone when he took over.
Listen, I actually agree that Xavi is the correct answer.
Okay.
But I don't think it's easy.
Right.
I mean, Patrick Vieira going into a place like Palace, everybody had them doomed to relegation, and now they're absolutely and probably will be under him an established Premier League side. He didn't get to go out and get the players that Xavi did.
Yep.
He had to work with what he had. And you could say the same thing about Arteta at Arsenal. He's made a couple of decent signings, but he had to work with what he had, and he's gotten them into the top four. So I don't think it's an easy answer. I think Xavi is the correct one. But yeah, the other two have done fantastic, particularly Vieira. I think we underestimate how good Vieira's done.
People keep asking if you're going to apologise for your comments about Xavi when he first signed.
What did I say about Xavi?
I think he said that he wanted to get them playing the Barcelona way once again, and you say, well, good luck with that. Look at the players that you have.
Right.
And now people want you to apologise because they are playing the Barcelona way.
No, right, okay.
I don't know, I'm just going to wait. Ali's just going to jump now.
No, all I'm saying is that at that time, he did not have the players available that he has now. He was depending on Ferran Juglat to score goals. Yeah? So, those comments were fair then. I'm not backing up from those comments at all.
And there will not be an apology.
And there will not be an apology coming. Not now and not anytime soon. So keep waiting if you want it. But it ain't coming.
Who's qualified for the World?
Kidding me?
Who's qualifying for the World? You're doing the coverage, aren't you, Ali? Italy or Portugal?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Italy.
Not a given, of course. They could both miss out.
Absolutely. They could lose to Turkey and North Macedonia.
Exactly.
I'm going to say Italy just. And it's going to be barely, and it's going to be very tight and very stressful. I'm going to say Italy.
Take the under, I think, in those games, definitely.
Yeah.
Tell the weirdest reason for which you ever missed a football match back in your days. You ever missed one for a strange reason?
I only ever missed one. And it was the very first one as a professional.
Oh?
My very first game, I was supposed to play in a pre-season match in Ayrshire, which is... I was going to say it's a 40-minute drive from my house, but the place was called Glenafton in Ayrshire.
Okay.
Which was a 40-minute drive from my house.
Right.
But I was supposed to be getting picked up half a mile from my house by a couple of the other players. So I go for my pickup time, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and there's nothing happening. So now I'm late. So I've got to run home. I run half a mile home. I've got to persuade my dad to drive me to Glenafton, which is 40 minutes away.
Right.
It's my first game as a professional. And my dad goes, are you going to give me petrol money? I went, of course I'll give you petrol. I said, look, can you take me? And he's like, oh. No, he must have been watching Panorama, Coronation Street or something. He
was
He was like, oh. And we get in the car. And of course, back then, there was no... There was no motorways around. It was all like just two lanes.
Yeah.
And the speed limit everywhere was like 30 mile an hour.
Right.
He's doing 29 and a half mile an hour. And I'm like, I'm going, Dad, this is my first game.
Yeah.
And he's like, I will not break the law. It's your own fault you're late. Take responsibility. I'm like,
oh, man.
Anyway, when I get there, they're kicking off.
No.
Yeah, kicking off. So, of course, I slouched him in the corner.
Yeah.
Come in after the game's finished, and the manager just looks at me and goes, that's a good start, isn't it? walked away. Yeah. So that was my introduction.
Wow, did your dad stay and watch the match?
Well, he had no choice, didn't he?
He had to take me back. You home as well. There you are.
Well, I got that all the way home as well. Remember that? Petrol money. I was like, yeah, right. I never gave it.
No, because
you didn't get your bonus.
Did you ever miss a game for a weird reason, Frank?
A weird reason, I don't know, but I remember the first game of the second season that I played for Chelsea. I didn't say anything, but I had stomach pain for like, I thought it was stomach pain for like a month or two. And in fact, I went to the game, we had to play against Barnsley, and my ex-wife called Ruud Gullit saying, Frank doesn't want to tell you, but he has a problem with his stomach, he doesn't know what it is. And Gullit, the night before, asked me to come to his room and say, you won't play tomorrow, your wife just called me, you have a problem, so you go back to Paris, you don't play tomorrow, you're going to stay in the stands, and you're going to check. And in fact, I had an ulcer in my esophagus. I had three holes in my esophagus because of anti-inflammatories that I was taking too much. So I missed that game. Yeah. That was the only game, weirdest reason. I don't know if it is weirdest reason, but there was a reason. Oh. I missed the game.
Yeah. Ali?
I didn't miss a game. I eventually got there. I was going to Montevideo, Uruguay, to play with the national team, Venezuela against Uruguay. And I was coming from Houston, I believe, and there was a hurricane that we had to fly around, to fly around. That was, first of all, the flight was delayed hours upon hours upon hours. I'm coming. Eventually, we take off. We have to fly somewhere down in Central America, land in Costa Rica. Eventually, I'd catch another flight and get to Argentina, I believe, Buenos Aires, and then from Buenos Aires took another flight to Montevideo. And the game was at 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever, it was at night. And I got there maybe at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh.
And of course, I didn't start. Played about, I don't know, 20 minutes at the end of the game, then got on a flight the next day, and they had to do the same thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I remember it, but it wasn't worthwhile.
Final question. After Dan's online poetry contest on Monday, we had some good poems, Stevie. What is the percentage chance that more poems have been written about Stevie than about any other person in the history of the human race? Do you want to hear Kay's one? Let me find Kay's one again in a minute.
What's that?
Is that you? How did that happen?
No idea.
Okay, here we go. This is Kay's one. Oh, wait, this is good tip. Right. There was a man called Steve. In gourmet food, he did not believe. Shepherd's pie was his wish for every single dish, but no sweet corn or he might heave.
Hey. Tell you what, spot on,
mate. Good?
Spot on as well.
Exactly.
Accurate.
I could have written that myself.
Frank looks a bit like a poet, doesn't he? You can imagine him sat there under a tree.
Yes.
Writing poetry, looking at
himself.
Chewing the back of the glasses, like the leg
The glasses would be on a lanyard.
Yes.
The glass like that.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. Yes. That's the one.
Yeah.
That Frank Connery.
Yeah, nothing so far. Nothing.
Just empty. That is it. Thank you. Better check that message, Stevie. We will be back tomorrow for more of this nonsense. Keep your questions coming in at ESPN FC. Be sure to join us then.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.